Thanks, Josh, for coming and sharing. What a beautiful picture of the church. I mean, you know, we talk about the church and what it is and what it isn't. You know, we talk about that often. You know, we say the church is, for those of you who know it, it's the family of God living on mission, right? And that's just a beautiful expression of the church. You know, it's the family of God living on mission, and it certainly doesn't, you know, always take place behind four walls like this. In fact, you know, this to me is icing on the cake. This is an awesome time to come and celebrate, to worship corporately, to hear from God's word. But I mean, we are the church, and as we go out and have opportunities to share the love of Jesus with people, I mean, that's where it all happens, right? So I'm super excited to be able to help in some way. And if you're interested, that piqued your interest, please go and talk to them after the service, because that's really what it's all about. Is it's about the love of God and sharing the love of God with the people he puts across our path. And sometimes we've got to step out of our comfort zone to really encounter those people. And so on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Galatians here. If you're visiting with us, it's a series we've been calling, it's called Freedom. And because that's what the Apostle Paul's writing about. He's writing to this, the gathering in the area of Galatia, the church there. And some people have come in and they've brought a different message, and they're saying it's more than just faith in Jesus. It's more than just grace. You have to have faith in Jesus, but also obey the law. And so he's pushing back real hard against this message. And so last week we finished up chapter 5. And at the end of chapter 5, he talked about while it's all by grace that we have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, he said we also have an obligation to fight against the sinful nature that we struggle with, all right? So he kind of paints this picture at the end of chapter 5 of two different people, and he says a person who's led by the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit, and he said, you know, that looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. This is what you see come out of that person. Now, the person who is controlled by the sinful nature, well, their life looks a little bit different. And he says that life looks more like a life that is given over to the sinful nature. So drunkenness, hatred, jealousy, and he kind of shows what that life looks like. And he goes, now we need to be people who are led by the Spirit. And so last week we talked about the need to hear the Spirit. If we're going to be led, we got to hear the Spirit. Then we have to surrender and submit to the Spirit, okay? So now we're moving into chapter 6. And he's kind of going to close his letter to the Galatians. We have this week and then one more message. But Galatians chapter 6, let's read verses 1 to 10 as we get started. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we look at your word, I pray that by your Spirit, you would bring it to life, that it would speak to our hearts, Lord God. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us ears to hear. God, I pray that we would understand what it means to be led by the Spirit. God, that we would not be weary in doing good, that we would have endurance. God, that we would remember that this race we're running, it's not just for ourselves. There's people all over this city and around the world who need to know you and need to know your love. And so, God, remind us of that. God, work in our hearts today, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look at verse 1. Should come up on the screen. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. All right, so I think it's worth mentioning, this is the 10th time that Paul has said, has used the term brothers, brothers and sisters, okay? So he's talking about this family, right? We're talking about the family of God. He also warns them of false brothers, all right? But it's really important that we understand Christianity is not a religion that you just believe in, all right? So it's about a relationship with God, the God who came, who died, who rose, and ascended into heaven. All right, so it's about a relationship with the Father through Jesus. And that's what people need to know. So many people think that Christianity is just like any other religion. You know, there's this set of rules that you obey, these guidelines, and you try to live that out the best you can. And when you die, you hope that your good outweighs your bad. Well, newsflash, your good will never outweigh your bad, right? That's why Jesus came. And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, if you're trying to live by the law, you got to obey it all. And I'll tell you what, if you're trying to obey it all, we're all in trouble. We're sunk. I mean, that dude, if there's no one who lived it quite like Paul did, and he found that it was empty. And when he met Jesus, everything changed, and he received new life. And the scripture says that as a result of that, we're adopted into God's family, his children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. So this message that we're to give is not a message of, hey, join this religion. No, it's a message of receiving new life and birth into a family. And that should challenge all of us. Because the question is, what is the church? And is the church really a family? Jesus said that they would know us. People would know us as his and as the church by the love we have for one another. Look at John 13, 34 to 35. It'll come on the screen. The words of Jesus. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. How will they know that you're my disciples? By the love you have for one another. Not how good your worship is on Sunday morning, not how big your building is or how many services you have. They'll know that we're his disciples by the love we have for each other. I talked about reading Francis Chan's book. He wrote a book recently called Letters to the Church, and it's really challenging. It deeply challenged me, our leadership team, reading that book, and it's challenging as to what the church really is. And in the book, he says, you know, a lot of us could probably think of churches that, you know, when we say a certain church, you can think of churches that are known by their worship. Like, man, that church has great worship team. Or we know churches that just have an incredible pastor who's a dynamic speaker. And he asks the question, how many churches can you think of? Can you think of one church, quote unquote, that is known specifically by the love that people have for one another? Like when you think of that congregation, you're going, man, those are the most loving people that I've ever encountered. It's really a family. And I think that's a challenge that we should take on because that's what the church is, right? Brothers and sisters of Christ. And we're to live that way. And he says that the world will know that we're his disciples by the love that we have for one another. That's what family does, right? We love each other, even through the good times, through the tough times. We love each other. Now, anybody have siblings in here? Is it always great, rosy, and awesome? Do you fight sometimes, right? I mean, you have those moments. We all have that Uncle Buck who's like, man, I hope that dude doesn't show up to the family reunion, right? You're just like, but we walk through that as family. You love one another. And so he goes on and he says, listen, if a brother or sister, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, okay, should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, okay, or you also might be tempted. So if you catch someone, if someone is caught in a sin, they're struggling with sin, they're maybe entangled in sin, he goes, you know, you who live by the Spirit, not you who are more godly, not you who are more holy, you who live by the Spirit. And he just told us what living by the Spirit looks like. All right, it's dying to my flesh, it's choosing to follow the leading of the Spirit, to follow Jesus. And he goes, that's gonna produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if you're living like that and you have a brother or sister who's in sin, then you restore them how? Gently, lovingly. And man, do we need to hear that message, because the church is notorious for killing its own wounded, right? Some a brother or sister falls into sin or makes bad choices and they find themselves bound in sin. And usually the church is often the first ones to judge, to come in and with a heavy hand rather than the gentleness that Paul talks about. And he goes, man, yeah, you gotta restore one another. Yeah, you need to help one another grow. You don't let sin go unchecked. But you do that with love and grace and gentleness. Why? Because we're all part of this family, the family of God. We're all part of this family. We want to see one another grow and want to see other people enter into the family. And the way they enter into the family and see that God is real is they see the love that we have for one another. They see that he's alive in us, and that draws them to him. But it's through gentleness and kindness. I mean, that's how God reached our hearts, right? Romans 2, verse 4, Paul wrote this. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see? It's the kindness, that it's his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin, or his kindness leads us to repentance. See, God lovingly draws us to himself. He loves us and he forgives us. And so he calls us, those who are led by the Spirit, you live by the Spirit, walk with one another, love one another, help each other, restore one another when they fall into a sin. And don't forget, you're not so, you know, holy yourself. He goes, be careful, because you might be tempted with the same thing, or maybe you already were tempted with the same thing. Remember back when, and you might have been delivered from it. Well, don't come and look down on your brother and sister. Come down to them, and I've been there, I understand, and lovingly help them through whatever they might be facing. And then look at verses 2-5. He goes on, he goes, all right, so carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves, okay? So check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? Because it's not about you and anything you've done, it's about what God's done in you. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. All right, now if you read that little passage, it's kind of interesting, because he starts off by saying, carry each other's burdens, right? He goes, carry each other's burdens. Then at the end he goes, for each one should carry their own load. So what does he mean? We have to understand the difference between a burden and a load, and there's two different Greek words used here, and so it's important to understand the difference. A burden is not something that you should carry or were meant to carry on your own, okay? But there is a load that we should each carry, and we should carry. So it says, listen, he's talking brothers and sisters, carry each other's burdens. This is kind of what family does. Well, what does he mean? I think of a person who goes to the doctor, routine checkup, and all of a sudden the doctor comes back and he goes, I got some news and it's not really that good. It looks like cancer. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you're faced with all these thoughts and what's gonna go on. To me, when someone walks through something like that, that's a burden that I don't think we're meant to carry alone. Or someone loses a loved one unexpectedly, or maybe even expectedly, the burden that we carry at that time is something that we need other people around us to help shoulder that. Maybe you lose a job and you know you're trying to struggle to figure all of that out. And he goes, listen, carry each other's burdens through times like that, right? We need brothers and sisters who will be there for us, who will love us, who, whether it's a shoulder to cry on, a hug, whatever it is, we need people in those moments to help us carry those burdens. We're not meant to carry that all alone. Now, what about a load? Well, to me, there's a difference between the man or the woman who loses the job and then desires to find work and will do whatever it takes to find a job, whatever it takes to take care of their family. They're just willing to do whatever. There's a difference between that person and the 30-year-old guy who's playing video games, living in mom and dad's basement and expecting them to pay the cell phone bill, right? That dude has a load that he needs to carry. Or that girl has a load that they need to carry. Like, get off the couch and do something. I used to jokingly say, you know that picture a lot of people have up, the footprints in the sand? You know, you've seen that. A lot of people have seen that, footprints in the sand. Like, there's one set of footprints, then there's, or there's two sets of footprints, and there's one set of footprints, and the, you know, the person's like, why was there only one set of footprints? And then Jesus says, well, two sets of footprints was when I was walking with you, and that one set of footprints is when I was carrying you. I think the picture should also have like this messed up area of sand, and where God says, yeah, I was walking with you and I was carrying you. And then I just had to like drop you and let you go. Like, get up and do something yourself. Like, you have some responsibility here, right? Like, I mean, I'm not carrying you through everything. I know that's not biblical. I know it's not right. But it's just in my mind, like some people, oh, I'm just trusting God. Well, yeah, you trust God, but get off the couch and do something and work with God here a little bit, right? So there's a load that we have to carry that we can only carry. So that's just one example. Another would be our spiritual life. You know, while we need one another to encourage one another, you know, as we walk through this life together, the reality is each one of us will stand before God alone. You're not going to stand before God and say, this is what they taught me at such and such church, or I mean, you're going to bear that responsibility for your spiritual life and well-being on your own before God. And so that's something you need to take initiative in to know God and to grow in your relationship with God. Yeah, there's going to be, the body's going to come around you and help you. But so he goes, bear one another's burdens, but make sure when you need to, that you carry the load that you need to carry. Because you've been gifted by God. Every one of us in this room, gifted by God. He has certain talents that he's given to you, and he's given those to us for a purpose, to use for his kingdom. And whether that's a bent towards something like soccer, what Josh does, and he's gifted just in the natural realm with that, and then he takes that and uses that for the kingdom. I mean, we all have opportunity all around us. And so I want to encourage us and challenge us with that. And I think that's kind of what Paul is saying here. He's saying as a body, as a family, this is how family functions. It's not just about one person. Brothers and sisters. And I hope that you understand that here in this body, we need everybody. Everyone's gifts, everyone's talents. And I hope you see me more as a brother than Pastor Vic. All right, I've said it many times like that. There's no pastor on my birth certificate. My name's just Vic, and I'm just another person who's a part of the family of God, and God's gifted me in a way to fulfill this role. But if you read what Paul says, I mean, it's one body made up of many parts, no one that's better than any other, and so I'm just fulfilling my part in this body just as you should fulfill yours. And we need each other. And the world needs the church to really be the church and to show that to the world, that love. Verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen, it's by grace through faith that we have a relationship with God, but it is important how we use our lives and how we live our lives and how we use the time that God has given to us. He says, How you live is important not just to you, but to the people around you. If I live to please my flesh, it doesn't only harm me, but it'll harm the body of Christ. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Listen, don't play games with God. It's basically how I read it, what Paul's saying. Don't play games with God. And there's a principle here that's just, that holds true in all of life. What you sow, you will reap, all right? If you're into gardening, and I'm not very good at helping anything to grow or stay alive, but if you're one of those people, if you sow tomato seeds, what are you gonna reap? Tomatoes, right? You sow green bean seeds, what are you gonna reap? Green beans, carrots. I mean, you reap what you sow. And it's no different in your spiritual life. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. If you sow to the flesh, he says, through the flesh, you will reap destruction. It's just the way the world works. Get drunk, get behind the wheel of a car. Not only might you get a ticket and deal with that, but you might reap the destruction of someone else's life, your own. And there's consequences for that, right? There just is. If you sow to please the flesh, he says you're gonna reap destruction. If you're married and you're tempted to pursue a relationship outside of that marriage with someone else of the opposite sex, listen, there's gonna be a trail of destruction that follows you. When you give in to the flesh in that way, you're gonna reap destruction. I think it's that simple what he's talking about. But he goes, man, when you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. When you're listening to the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, you're gonna reap eternal life. And I think there's so much more to this than we understand, because when you first read that, you go, okay, so you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life, I'm gonna go to heaven and be with Jesus. I don't think that's what Paul's saying here. That might be part of it. But I think what he's saying is, he's going, listen, when you are listening to the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, and I'll just use the example of what we heard this morning in our mission moment, okay? So someone who hears something, God telling them to do something and takes a step in doing that, whether it's starting a soccer league or whatever you might do, but in that case, so led by the Spirit, responding to that leading, and not only does that bring life to other people, it brings eternal life to people who hear that message now and respond and put their faith in Jesus. But I think that's when Jesus goes, listen, I came to bring you life and life to the full. I came to give you life abundantly. When we experience life abundantly, I think that's a little taste of heaven here on earth. I think that's when we experience the kingdom. I think that's the kind of eternal life that Paul's talking about, because eternal life doesn't start when I breathe my last breath and stand before God in heaven. Eternal life is now, right? So, I mean, Scripture talks all about it. I said it last week. God didn't come to take bad people and make them good. He took dead people and made them alive, right? So now I'm alive, and I experience eternal life here and now, and I experience that life abundant when I start seeing the kingdom break out all around me. So in that situation, it's, you know, you're obedient to the Spirit, something you hear and you're led by, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in one of those little devotionals after a soccer game, and someone who's a Muslim hears that message that they'd never heard about having a real relationship with God, that it's not about religion, and they put their faith in this Jesus and experience new life. And I'm gonna tell you, if you experience that firsthand and somehow you're a part of that, just in any way, like the Lord nudged you to do something, nudged you to share something, nudged you to take a step of faith, there's nothing on this earth that compares to that feeling, seeing someone's life transformed and changed. And I think that's what Jesus wants from all of us. And so we say living on mission, man, you got a mission field in your backyard. You got a mission field across the street. You got a mission field on your campus. All right, so God, help me to hear how you're leading me. If this is real, if it's really not about religion and it's about relationship, then we have a God who speaks, We have to be people who listen. And the Spirit wants to lead you. So we talked about it last week. Be still. Know that I'm God. Take time to listen. And then when we hear, take a step of obedience. And don't be surprised. In fact, you shouldn't be surprised. You should expect God to meet you there and do amazing things. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about the power of His Spirit. Paul wraps it up, and I'll wrap it up with this, Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. And he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. All right? Let us not be weary in doing good. All right, so he's not just talking about doing good things in general, okay? Don't grow weary in doing good, helping out your neighbor. Remember, it's all about the context. He goes, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in being led by the Spirit and following the leading of the Spirit. Don't grow weary as you bear one another's burdens. Don't grow weary as you help restore a brother or sister who's caught in sin. Like everything I just talked to you about, he's saying, now listen, don't grow weary in that. Be empowered by the Spirit. Continue to do what you're created and called to do. And as you do that, know at the end, you're going to receive a harvest, okay? Levi, you guys can come back up here. I'm going to finish up in just a minute. But don't give up. Look at verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? All people. All right, everybody say that with me. All people. Not people who look like you, not people who follow the same religion as you do, not people who are on the same side of the political fence as you, not people who are the same color as you. Let us do good to all people, especially those who are in the family of faith. But listen, church, we need to hear that message. We are to do good to all people. We're to love all people. God loved you and he loved me when we had our backs turned to him, when we were sinning against him, had total disregard for him. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And now Paul says, don't forget that and make sure you love all people. And all means all. All right, so this morning, I want us to hear that part of the message. I just hope that the Spirit spoke to you through something here, but I want to close with us here in this part of the message. There are people who are in your life that you are to love, and maybe you're struggling with that right now. Maybe there are people who you're withholding love from. Maybe there are people you're just annoyed with because they're annoying people, right? News for you. So are you sometimes, and so am I, right? But God goes, you're supposed to love those people as well. So if you would, I want to ask you to stand with me. I want to just kind of walk us through just a little prayer reflection time. And we're gonna sing a final song. As always, there's communion out to either side of the stage and in the back. If you want to take a moment with your family or people around you, just remember what God has done, and you want to take a moment of reflection, you know, we invite you to do that. But if you would, just take a moment and just bow your head and just be in an attitude of prayer with me. See, God has been so good to us. He's loving. He's patient. He's forgiving. And Paul says, listen, you're to love all people. And I want to just pray, God, by the power of your Spirit right now, would you be kind enough, Lord, to show us, are there people in our lives that we're just not loving? Lord, are there people who we're withholding that love for whatever reason it might be? God, would you show that to us? Are there people around us who need to be loved and they need to experience your love? And God, you put them in our path and for whatever reason, we haven't been doing that. Is there someone that we could love better? And God, would you give us the strength to do that? God, remind us as your family, the church, that the world will know that we are really yours by the love we have for one another. And you've called us to love our neighbor. You tell us to bear one another's burdens, and in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, help us to do that, to love all people, and especially those who are brothers and sisters. To help where we can help, to meet needs where we can meet needs, to be there in the most difficult of times, God. And as we sing this song, Lord, I pray that it would truly be words of worship, just being reminded of how good you are and how good you've been to us. God, help us to be that expression on this earth of your love and your goodness and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.